This is January 6th, the Mythic News Edition. So, yes, all of that, you know, but what a sacred crime drama, really brilliantly crafted. Let's go over some of it and weave it into the giant swoosh that we're in really right now. You know, I'm going, and what's available to have all of our participatory skills available. So it was stressed today, you know, really from the HBO excellent series Chernobyl. Unless we find out how this happened, it will happen again. Very important. So participatory mythological metaphors. There are many ways for us to kahoot. This is the ninth hearing, nine steps to the underworld. I like that as well. And as we've done before, we really see mythic figures supporting the good. Obatala, the Orisha of wise governance, dignity, and solemnity, standing behind Benny Thompson. And we'll get to the stirring the cauldron lady behind behind Liz Cheney. But also here now at this powerful ritual storytelling service time, kinned, resonant with truth and reconciliation. Let's honor the ancestors, and let's honor, here's John Lewis's last words to us, read by Morgan Freeman. Here we go.
While my time here has now come to an end, I want you to know that in the last days and hours of my life, you inspired me. You filled me with hope about the next chapter of the great American story when you used your power to make a difference in our society. Millions of people motivated simply by human compassion laid down the burdens of division. Around the country and the world, you set aside race, class, age, language, and nationality to demand respect for human dignity. That is why I had to visit Black Lives Matter Plaza in Washington, though I was admitted to the hospital the following day. I just had to see and feel it for myself that after many years of silent witness, the truth is still marching on. Emmett Till was my George Floyd. He was my Rayshard Brooks, Sandra Bland, and Breonna Taylor. He was 14 when he was killed, and I was only 15 years old at the time. I will never, ever forget the moment when it became so clear that he could easily have been me. In those days, fear constrained us like an imaginary prison, and troubling thoughts of potential brutality committed for no understandable reason were the bars. Though I was surrounded by two loving parents, plenty of brothers, sisters, and cousins, their love could not protect me from the unholy oppression waiting just outside that family circle. Unchecked, unrestrained violence and government-sanctioned terror had the power to turn a simple stroll to the store for some Skittles or an innocent morning jog down a lonesome country road into a nightmare. If we are to survive as one unified nation, we must discover what so readily takes root in our hearts that could rob Mother Emanuel Church in South Carolina of her brightest and best, shoot unwitting concertgoers in Las Vegas, and choke to death the hopes and dreams of a gifted violinist like Elijah McClain. Like so many young people today, I was searching for a way out, or some might say a way in. And then I heard the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. on an old radio. He was talking about the philosophy and discipline of nonviolence. He said we are all complicit when we tolerate injustice. He said it is not enough to say it will get better by and by. He said each of us has a moral obligation to stand up, and speak out. When you see something that is not right, you must say something. You must do something. Democracy is not a state. It is an act, and each generation must do its part to help build what we call the beloved community, a nation and world society at peace with itself. Ordinary people with extraordinary vision can redeem the soul of America by getting in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. Voting and participating in the democratic process are key. The vote is the most powerful nonviolent change agent you have in a democratic society. You must use it because it is not guaranteed. You can lose it. You must also study and learn the lessons of history because humanity has been involved in this soul-wrenching existential struggle for a very long time. People on every continent have stood in your shoes through decades and centuries before you. The truth does not change, and that is why the answers worked out long ago can help you find solutions to the challenges of our time. Continue to build union between movements stretching across the globe, because we must put away our willingness to profit from the exploitation of others. Though I may not be here with you, I urge you to answer the highest calling of your heart and stand up for what you truly believe. In my life, I have done all I can to demonstrate that the way of peace, the way of love and nonviolence, is the more excellent way. Now it is your turn to let freedom ring. When historians pick up their pens to write the story of the 21st century, let them say that it was your generation who laid down the heavy burdens of hate at last, and that peace finally triumphed over violence, aggression, and war. So I say to you, walk with the wind, brothers and sisters, and let the spirit of peace and the power of everlasting love be your guide.
So the ancestors, hi John, behind Benny Thompson, behind all of us, you know, words to take to heart, so generous and kind, his last words. He, again, read by Morgan Freeman, but he went into the hospital right after that and died. But here he is, and we honor everything he said. Good trouble, necessary good trouble. Right, and the history, to know the history. I do highly recommend Rachel Maddow's podcast, Ultra, because it's the history. 80 years ago, there was a coup. There was a white nationalist uprising that almost worked. There was militarizations, that's right. All these moments in history that are so tippy, in which there's, you know, funkiness and corruption everywhere in the Revolutionary War, but so tiny and tippy, could have gone either way. You know, 80 years ago, could have gone either way. You know, again, but for good people and sane, reverent common sense, there we go. And here we are resonating again, this tippy time. But I love Terry Pratchett saying, magic is easy, just find the fulcrum and push in tippy times. So we also see behind John, you know, behind Benny Thompson, you know, John Lewis, and also Hi John the Conqueror, you know, whom... again, wonderfully written about by Zora Neale Hurston in her selection of short stories, the great folk hero of the South. You know, so High John was not a man at first, but a will to freedom and justice, and a will to liberating the entire circumstance, right? Not just everything, and finish it all off with a laugh, right? A powerful, powerful figure who hits a straight lick with a crooked stick, and we go, and finds a way out of no way, and we go, all right, come on in, High John. So just to speak to, you know, there's so many ways to participate and so many ways to tell the story and so many newses, right? The Jungian news, you know, phallic narcissism rode 20 points today in a bold move by, you know, whatever, oil. But here's, you know, the mythic news, and not something to believe in. It's just endogenous, that wonderful word endogenous. Just as we have cannabis receptors and we have DMT receptors, we have mythological, astro-mythological receptors. You know, we know it. Remember the Thai saying, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism, meaning our willingness to participate with everything, the community of all beings, not just humans. Let the truth of, you know, of animism eclipse the hubris of humanism, we like to say here for a long time. So in the chart, I do the charts for everything. Again, the January 6th hearings today, 1 p.m. in the Capitol building. So there's the sun in Libra. We're coming off of this weekend, Pluto, death, rebirth, stationing to go forward. we're in the Pluto return of this country. Pluto is now where it was when this country was founded, 1776. So everything to do with that, you know, is up and forward. And the hearings today, part of that, we got to look at everything, got to look at everything, got to be guided by John Lewis and look at everything. And then to have deep, deep discerning, you know, with, again, a kind and persuasive heart. Come on, we're going towards sane reverence. So, yes, so in the astro mythology, the sun is right next to Venus at 17 plus Libra. There are metaphors for each degree of the zodiac. That degree is about accountability. Accountability is the sine qua non of democracy. Its image is men placed under arrest as necessary for community freedom. Yeah, there we go. And just in Cassidy Hutchinson's, chart, you know, many, many people have done terrible things, but, you know, they called to do something credible. She's got planets at 17 Libra. She's part of Let's Bring Things to Accountability. So when Trump gave his murderous tweet, his treasonous tweet, you know, after brawling in his office in December, it was at 1 something a.m. But when he does that tweet, 17 plus Libra is rising, men placed under arrest and brought to accountability. I like to think underneath everything that tyrants want to be caught underneath everything and held accountable. And yeah, Trump was subpoenaed today. That was fun, or more than fun. It's hard to know. But I always follow, you know, Heather Cox Richardson on Twitter. Just again, a great ally, a prodigious learning analysis historian, crucial to know about all these tippy times and how they're resonant and what we're all facing now in the form of very organized tyranny starts a long way back. We could go, you know, 80 years, we could go further back, we could go to the origin of a priesthood, we could go, but it's all brewing. But there are, I like the idea, you know, because as aspiring tricksters, may it be so, we are friends of tyrants' hearts, souls, and therefore we are friends of their accountability, their indictment, their subpoena. When Hercules was disrupting the equilibrium of the world with violent, puerile tantrum yoga, the gods sentenced him to the underworld to knitting and weaving, to begin to weave back together the fabric of kinship that he had been sundering. We go, that's a good metaphor. That's a good metaphor. Right now, we say many things, but language and metaphor and music are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. Like, we have a metaphor, and backstage gods go, "We'll put that vessel on your altar, and we'll fill it for you." It's part of the play, part of experiment, and the play that we have so many skills, some that we've kind of forgotten. Or part of the model is all of us exists in varying degrees of we're living parts of us, and parts of us are waiting backstage for their cues. So moments in history are to all of us like theatrical stage managers going, all right, you know, the part of you that has a unique gift that nobody else can contribute, we need you now, you're on. And you, unique gift, on. And we go, but we don't know what it is. And, you know, Neptune says, just wonder. I wonder what my gift is. You know, but everything's stirring. It's like, you know, all of that. So I think it's useful to think of the Dementors sentenced to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving. You know, it's the whole theme, Dementors. We have a place for Dementors. It's like a place for mom, retirement community, assisted living. Well, we have an assisted living for Dementors, right? And a number of my trickster teams, we've been readying the room. It's kind of a cave-like room. There's no Wi-Fi and there's no phone, but there is a plate of magic mushrooms. And there's, you know, Voyage to the Bunny Planet books, you know, and we might think of other things. It's not punitive. It's just reflective and binding out of being able to harm any things. We can add stuff to that. But I want to, you know, again, just look at the dance of the chart, and then we take ourselves, you know, now here we go. We're rolling. On October 30th is the Brazilian runoff election. And it really is all life is on the ballot everywhere. And it is such a woofy time for powerful women and indigenous everything rising and whoever wants to support that dynamic everywhere, whether it's Iran and Kansas and whatever. It's like, ooh, it's a big, big tide. We're a part of it. You know, Pluto stationing full moon behind us is really the statement zero on the pattern of the trestle board, which says, all the power that ever was or will be is here now. It's good to say. Check it out. All the power that ever was or will be is here now. We go, right. So power is pouring into the world. Excuse me. Sextiling Neptune. So metaphors are eager to be ridden into the world, to suffuse what we think of as, you know, whatever, reality. We see Kuan Yin surfing into the world, you know, with her beautiful gaze. You know, she's often seated, you know, in tranquil reverie, but fully informed, with one foot forward so she can respond, a first responder at any point, bringing powerful kindness, equanimity, justice, all of those things. And of course, the wonderful goddess that was obscure and then made famous by a Elephant Journal article some years back, but she really, Akilanda, Akilandeshvara, her name means never not broken. It is the powerful medicine that people who are broken, lying crumpled on the floor, have, and it gives guidance, because it's like, there's Akilanda, never not broken, but using that as a power. She rides the crocodile of her own fear. So great image. Again, that's part of our mythological metaphor. When daunted, you go, all right, let me get on the crocodile of my own fear. Woohoo! Woohoo! Here we go. Let me surf behind Kuan Yin. Let me cahoot with Haijian the Conqueror. Let us remember the myths are stirring. They've always been for now. You know, at the end, the Arthurian legends, Grail legend, I'll say it again, you know, the Round Table was a mythological experiment to have spiritually cultivated people participate in governance. And at the what passes for the end of the Grail legend, all the really kind of hip people go away. Arthur goes to Avalon to take Pilates classes with the priestesses, and, you know, Merlin goes off with the nymph, woohoo, right? But to await the world's call at a time of danger, we go, now. Now would be really good to have wise Obatala Yang to come dance with the increasingly spicy, woofy, wrathful Dakini, feminine rising up out of the earth herself, and everyone kinned, backed up by what we love. Remember, wonderful John Seed, I mean, I heard this years and years and years ago, but it's so useful, these metaphors are so useful. John Seed, in Australia, destiny and name, protector of rainforest and much, was asked, how do you not despair? And he said, if I thought of myself as just a human, I would be just doubled over in grief. But I feel myself to be that part of the rainforest that has assumed human shape. And so I'm here backed up by it and on behalf of it. And that's part of the conversation now, which is, you know, I'm going to say this because it's cool for the astromythologist, but you don't need, you know, Venus at 17 Libra, lock up the Dementors in a room where they learn weaving, and there's a plate of magic mushrooms, but there's no Wi-Fi or phone. So Venus is at 17 Libra. Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, against all odds, coyote, raven, seeds that sprout after cataclysm, keeper of democracy, is at 17 Taurus. It's what's called it's a 150-degree angle. It opens a conversation between what's called the two Venusian realms. The Libran cultural realm, here we are on radio, Grand Trine as well, hello, 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 and the Taurus sensual, animistic realm of all the beings, and the mycelia, and the foxes, and the slime mold, and all of our kin, all of flora, fauna, fungi. And so the conversation to each one of us is for us to proclaim, it's really like a kind of voting, to proclaim our availability to be cultural agents in the court of the human world, or however we want to phrase that, on behalf of what we love, and on behalf of biomimicry and ingenuity. This is such a crucial time and so many necessary miracles, and the gods are making it super, super simple, right? Because it's like, here, you know, Lula, Amazon, life, restore lands to indigenous people, collaborate, constellate family, versus Bolsonaro, creepitudinous cruelty and dementor destruction. Take your pick. And that's in so many races here. It's so, well, the coup is rolling, and there are, I love the chart of the November 8th election in many ways, but it is a resonance. It's no time for passivity. We say that which makes us passive is toxic, and that which makes us active is tonic. It's like participatory. So the resonance, of course, election is November 8th. We remember 2016 when the election was November 8th, and then it was November 9th the next day that the Dementor was the former guy proclaimed president. And at that time, many of us might have noticed that November 9th is Kristallnacht, right? That's the date of Kristallnacht when the Nazis rioted and they broke all the glass, and it was the huge, horrific increase, a whole increase of persecution and beating up Jews, Kristallnacht. And it was such a horrific date, November 9th, that the Germans chose it as the day to take down the Berlin Wall, going, oh, this date is really, here we are again, second chance. Not Kristallnacht or Berlin Wall coming down, take your pick. There we go, there's much there. So, yeah, and let's keep riding. We know, when we were listening to Mr. Kinzinger, I'm riveted by these sacred rites of the hearings, and there's got to be more. They have Alex Jones's tweets for years from him to the White House and the Proud Boys, and anyway, so there's all that. It's very clear, and may it be persuasive, and may it spiral out and sane, reverent, common sense, hum in people's hearts, going, oh, that's okay. That the Khan didn't even believe his Khan, but he is an agent of destructive chaos, right? Before he says, before I go, let me, pull the troops out of, Somalia and Afghanistan and just create, chaos and, bedlam and all of that. So chaos agent. Remember the tweet, February 10th, I remember, and we're going way back, in maybe 2013, and it's a tweet thing between Trump and Bannon. And they're tweeting back and forth saying, right, riots are the way to take it back to how it used to be, and it was good. We want riots. And Bannon saying, right, I want to destroy the whole government. I want to take the whole thing down. And Trump going, right, but we'll need riots to do it. Right. So this is, we want to, in many, many ways, on stage and backstage, but experiment, to go backstage to dissolve the delusional thrall so that the tyranny, cruelty, virus no longer fits in the collective soul. And many of you have heard me say this before, but I'm working with my election magic council and my trickster council and all of us here. Let's experiment to try everything, engage everything. All of nature, all of, really flora, fauna, fungi, has been convening backstage going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. But let's make everything available that has ever drawn forth the best of humans to cooperate with others. Mutualism, Kropotkin, mutual aid. We see it so many places. Kristen Olson last week, beautiful book. Again, everywhere. And that's what we're available to. So, and then just a little, I love Benny Thompson so much. When we see people dreeing their weird, playing their role in destiny, that's what it means to dree our weird. And may we all proclaim our availability to dree our weird. Yornis Trickster Genius says, I'm your booking agent. Don't worry about how first. How, not first question. First question, what? What? It's like backstage trickster says, you tell us what, all of us, planting our dedication. What are we dedicated to? You tell us what, I'll do how, in a way that makes, you know, you bark with laughter. We see in small ways, but I think invitation will increase the serendipitous liberating synchronicity. We saw it when Alex Jones, he owes $1 billion, but he's back already calling for murder and crazy things. It's like, but Alex Jones's lawyer in a previous case, his lawyers inadvertently sent all of his personal texts to the prosecution, who were like, are you sure? And they didn't know what they'd done, right? But so the prosecution forwarded them to the January 6th committee. I'm like, oh, come back, January 6th committee. I want at least two or three more to see the woven complicity and, you know, and criminal accountability. Accountability, not punishment, right? Nathaniel Hawthorne said, beware the impulse to punish, right? That's why it's a Christian monk's like cell, or no, it's just, it's a cozy cave, you know, it's not, right, but with a plate of magic mushrooms and voyage to the bunny planet, and maybe you can suggest, you know, a book or two, but that's it. Maybe crayons, that would be good. So Benny Thompson, again, Moon and Virgo, language craft dedicated to constellating community. And I do want to say that this was so crafted, such, you know, extraordinary storytelling narrative. I'll get to Liz Cheney for honor. Again, all can change, but we go, thank you, Benny Thompson. Thank you so much. Thank you with, you know, Saturn and Vesta transiting on your Mercury. You're being a voice for that which is good, being dedicated, being Obatala-like, being Haijan-like, being King Arthur-like, presiding around the round table, which we're shape-shifting into the oval table, because as many of you know, the reason that women cannot testify, because the word testify comes from testes. So testify literally means to grab your balls. I swear by what's most important to me, by grabbing my balls on this thing. That's what it means. I put my balls on the Bible. But we can ovify, right? So I think, you know, and men can ovify too. Let's have that, the oval table for ovifying, for truth-telling, truth and reconciliation, guiding story, got to do it. So then, all honor to Benny Thompson, many things. Well, I'll say this too: his language crafting, Moon in Virgo, opposite Venus, exalted in Pisces. It's language craft in service to unity. Remember, my beautiful friend Deborah Falmouth says, you know, in Arabic, "Salam is peace, is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of oneness." Presence of oneness. And Benny Thompson, particularly, one of the images in his chart is a council of ancestors. A young leader listens to their voices. Well, to the ancestors, we're all pretty young, right? And we go, right, come on in. His south node of the moon, Benny Thompson's, and this is a fun connection between him and Liz Cheney and the world, and the priesthood and the Inquisition. His south node is 19 Scorpio, south node of the moon. What we already know how to do. And everything has a story, right? And whatever we pay attention to is how the big story will speak to us, right? So I love this astrological language, but it's whatever we're dedicated to is how the world will converse back and offer us, you know, an invitation to dance. So years ago, a great ally, Sylvia Hanley, said 19 Scorpio was called the accursed degree of the accursed sign by the medieval grumpy astrologers, because its image is no priesthood. Its image is a woman draws back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. And we go, ooh. And I just love, Benny Thompson sort of knows this, but the person that's, it's really there, and that's why we... People are comprised of many things. There's the up to no good and the having done terrible things and whatever. Liz Cheney's Neptune is 19 Scorpio. And we go, oh, you spicy person, you heretic. Underneath that, may you be freed. It's coming alive now. And I'll say this, you know, because it trines her Jupiter in Cancer. Jupiter's called exalted in Cancer. And I love wondering, you know, why should storytelling and curiosity and blessing, you know, be exalted in Cancer, the sign of providing nourishment? And it's said in the Arabian Nights, 1001 Nights, people need stories more than they need bread. So this is Caroline Casey. This is the Visionary Activist Show. We are segueing from excellent Mitch Jesserits, right, into the January 6th hearings, Mythic News edition. And we will be right back after this very short break, and we will experiment with call-ins. Maybe. We're going to try it. 800-958-9008. And we'll be right back.
She shook the constellation and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tallest cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo skyship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So today we're just segueing from excellent, excellent KPFA team and Mitch Jesserits. Now we're doing the January 6th hearings, Mythic News Edition, just to add more participatory metaphors and things to play with and to remember. If we don't know what to do, invite in what does, right? So we're here playing with that. And we're willing, 510-848-4425. If you have a critique and a blessing, we're not doing complaining. We're doing insight with an aspirational kind heart. Okay, there we go. Or 800-958-9008. So there's that. And then here we are back to the Mythic News, and I do find this so heartening, again, the story overlay of what's available. We all know in all mantic arts, in all divination, in all of our disciplined realms, you know, that the question, what's going to happen, is irrelevant. It's what's available with which to participate. Again, participatory news, participatory hearings, participatory everything, democracy. As mentioned before, we're in America's Pluto return, which is where Pluto is where it was when this country was founded. I recommend watching the series Turn to see how tippy the Revolutionary War was and how sketchy it was on both sides, but how, it almost didn't happen. And much betrayal, right? Remember George Washington told the slaves, those enslaved people, that if they fought for the Revolutionary War, he would free them. And he's like, just kidding. So there's a lot to work with. Again, Pluto return would be the assignment to make the unconscious or the hidden conscious in a collective way. And I think that's what these hearings are doing as really artful, sacred storytelling. And then just to-ing and fro-ing all over the place here. But anyway, in Liz Cheney's chart, when I said Jupiter exalted in Cancer, it's like, I didn't know. I mean, we knew she'd a dingbat and her tyrannical father and bad opinions, voted with Trump most of the time, you know, but storytelling. And my colleague Patricia Ewing said, yeah, all the Democrats are really grateful to her for her story craft. That's story craft, you know, that again, 9 sessions and more coming. Oh, right. Well, of course there's going to be another one. They're subpoenaing Trump. So and that part of her is coming alive. Again, parts of us rise at historic moments. All of us going, you know, the 60s is really like a sleeper cell. People born then, people who lived through then, people who've heard about it or listened to the music. You know, it's that quality, Uranus-Pluto conjunction, all coming alive now by transit, going, wait a minute, didn't we come to do stuff? We did. We're available. It's like, whew. And that's what's unpredictable, rousing, exciting, democratic possibilities about this time globally and this election. But it requires full-on participation with all of our skills. That's the exciting deal. I'm very moved by this. So also at the hearing, lovely chart, powerful chart going on. Mercury, mind, voice, intellect, at the degree of pilgrims gathering around a campfire to bring alive a guiding story. Yes. Trines the moon in Gemini. The moon has a voice, at the degree of oasis, communicative waters of life. Nothing more seriously fun than saying the truth. And these powers of revelation, you know, and incantation, you know, things that have stood in good stead, you know, for us to play with. May anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and in the fullness of time be an occasion for satirical mirth. Right? May anything up to no good, you know, fizzle like a wet firecracker fart, you know, just fizzle. It's our magic backpack with which to play. Whoops, I see the cats have been, wait a minute, I'll be right back here. The cats love to play with the board. Wait, I'm just experimenting. We're all in this together. There we go. That should be okay. Let's go to ally Karen in Orinda.
Carolyn, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, wonderful. This is your ally Karen. Karen and Sweetie, Karen. Anyway.
Excellent.
Just figuring out. Hey, thank you so much for an absolutely brilliant, as always, radio cast. I'm so grateful for, especially for the out loud chuckles that you gave me around describing this special room for the dementors to go and weaving and weaving, and especially about the plate of the magic mushrooms there. I'm sure I have more things to say, but I have to thank you first for the yes.
Well, it's good. It's like again, great trickster David Grimes. I think it was the second Bush election. I was on the floor, but I had a show here to do. Going, and he goes, no, we're you know, if we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough. So, well, thank you, Karen and Sweetie. Yeah. Laughter,
you're welcome.
Is.
And one last thing, dear one, I've got 17 degrees Libra rising, so I'll be
good for you.
Contemplating good. That one. Yeah.
Okay, you are an agent of accountability. Go forth and be woofy. And see the dementors, you know, no longer capable of harming themselves by harming others, going to our underground, you know, a place for dementors. It's an assisted living place for dementors, right? Exactly. And we can all furnish it, you know, again, not punitively. I like the no Wi-Fi, no phone on the plate of magic mushrooms as an option. Everything intended to be liberating. But thank you so much. Woof, woof.
You're welcome. And I'll give some thought to the books that should be there. Maybe one,
that's good. No. Think offline. Think offline. And then just communicate to us. All right, we can open things up. Yeah, info@coyotenetworknews.com. We're happy to receive suggestions about how we furnish the underworld place for the dementors, all of those things. So thank you very much, Karen. All righty. So the Mercury pilgrims gathering around a campfire, and there was a pilgrim in Orinda. We're all telepathically kin, you know. And trines the moon and oasis, the communicative waters of life. And we go, that's really great. So, and then, you know, we'll be posting on websites, you know, ally Pat is bringing up all of the congressional races, all the Senate races, all the things races. And I think, you know, every way of participating, you know, when I'm back into contributing small but symbolic amounts of money to candidates. And that reminds us also to pledge to KPFA, what the hell, 800-439-5732, in some witty symbolic way. So I often do $13 because we want 13 justices on the Supreme Court. And as Pat Ewing has guided us, there should be, because appellate there used to be 9 appellate judges, 1 for each Supreme Court justice. And that's how it was always supposed to work. 1 appellate justice to a Supreme Court justice. Now there's 13 appellate justices. So it's appropriate to have 13 Supreme Court justices. We're going that. So I like giving $13. 13, big deal in the Seal of America. George Washington had 12 generals and the 13 and 13 feathers and arrows in the claw. It goes on forever. But I like 13. And if I'm feeling really woofy, you know, for Pisces women like Val Demings, you know, I might give 50, you know, there you go. But symbolic amounts. And similarly to KPFA, why not? You know, if you do appreciate the Mythic News joining happily with the necessary, you know, whatever we call it, progressiveness. Well, what Mitch Jezerich does is an educational service. He is a unique and crafted ally. Wonderful, wonderful being. So there's that. So you can call in 510-848-4425 or 800-958-9008. Yes, we're animating many, many, many metaphors. Metaphors be with you. That's the thing. And also, just for the fun of it in this chart, again, I'll say it and translate it so we can feel it hum. Today, these hearings, what's called a grand trine in air, spiraling forth, sane reverence, accountability, possibilities. And it hums the Brazilian election, which everything's on the line, like it is everywhere, but especially there. So October 30th, the Brazilian election, Mars will be stationing that day, right? So, and to retrograde, and how we play with that, right? Restoration of indigenous lands. It really is, we're electing candidates in Brazil, we're electing a Mars. Which Mars, the uninitiated, destructive, dingbat, compensatory, puerile, destroy the earth Mars, or the stewardship, green man, you know, take care of everything, you know, Mars, in ourselves and in candidates. Always remembering the word inaugurate. Inaugurate comes from the augur, the divine part of ourselves that walks out into nature, and nature shapeshifts to communicate through patterns, you know, the responsible enough human, and then they would be inaugurated. But that's not the completion of the process. They'd be inaugurated, and then the community would imbue them with desirable qualities. It's like African leaders taking Ibogaine before, you know, to visit with the ancestors before they assume, you know, the inauguration. That's a good idea. But, you know, in any case, you know, so the augur part of all of us would discern, like, yeah, okay. And then it's a relationship. And then we feed you. And that's also part of our crucial messaging. John in the North Bay. That's part of our crucial messaging. Come in, John in North Bay.
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you for the Thursday Kahoot Nanny. I look forward to your show. I wanted to ask your opinion, or if you have followed the NASA DART mission, so-called DART mission, where they sent a space probe to almost like billiard bump an asteroid, and it apparently is on the news the other day, it worked. They adjusted the orbit so that this kind of shows that it can be done if there's an impending asteroid strike on the Earth. Thank you for your program and everything else. Okay, thank you.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, Trevor Noah quipped it, and they bumped it just enough, so now it is headed for Earth. Yes, it's like, all right, it is very much, John, in North Bay, like a billiard ball. And it's like, I don't know, were there being small rocks on the asteroid going, we were just being a peaceful asteroid here with a, don't know. But also what's interesting, everything scientific and true is also a mythological guide. Jupiter, our planet, is, NASA calls it the protector of Earth. And they say that in any solar systems they find or are finding where there's an Earth nurturing life kind of planet, there's going to be a Jupiter planet, because Jupiter deflects asteroids. It's got this powerful field. and it's the only planet that emits more electromagnetic radiation than it receives from the sun. Like, but it deflects incoming objects from the Earth, and we go, thank you, Jupiter, and Jupiter is associated with luck, and with guidance, and with curiosity, and with blessing. So when we are in storytelling, right, if we're storytelling, you know, the likes of today, you know, again, deflects incoming mayhem. It's true, and blessing and curiosity. And curiosity, the Jupiter quality, is also our best guardian angel, because it's the part of us. Other parts of us go, oh, God, it's terrifying, or it's horrible, or there's this corruption. I want to come back to corruption all over the place. You know, but the Jupiter part of all of us responds to everything with curiosity. You know, and like Kuan Yin, like curiosity, and what are we going to do? Like, oh, my God, the horrible, horrible, horrible. Okay, how interesting. What are we going to do, team? Maybe Julian in Berkeley knows. Come in, Julian in Berkeley.
Carolyn, hi.
Hey.
God, what a great show. Thank you so much. I mean, you're always inspired, but this has been fantastic.
Oh, that's great. That's great. No, it's, well, thank you very much. Super appreciated.
Yeah, I'm actually coming from San Francisco, where I was just teaching kids, some fourth graders, poetry, and we were talking about metaphors. So it was a wonderful conjunction, you know, to turn on your show and have you sort of spinning metaphors at that point. And the metaphor that I wanted to bring in, the thing that I've been talking with friends a lot about lately, and kind of trying to pull ourselves off of the abyss of despair, you know, one by one or in groups, is music. Because it feels to me sometimes like we're in the midst of a song, a very complex song, that has been going on for a long, long time. And sometimes I think of the magic flute, and I think of the way that the magic flute begins in this very sort of soft way, and, you know, the instruments sort of come in one by one. And it feels like that song has been happening for a long time, and we know that song, and we've known it for a long time. But we're now in the midst of a crescendo, you know, really an intense and frightening sort of, you know, Queen of the Night sort of moment of just almost overbearing beauty, and everything. I mean, you know, doubt, fear, but all of these things conjoining. So I just wanted to throw that metaphor out to you and let it spin a little bit.
That's great. That's very, very deft, because as you may remember, you know, our word to dream in Old English comes from two words. It's dreamon, and it means both to dream and to make music. So in our language, it says to make music is to participate in dreaming the world into being. And we go, oh, that's great. And then, you know, I'm so fond of Terry Pratchett and I Shall Wear Midnight. It's such a useful book, such a useful book. I'm rereading it, and I listened to it on Audible as well. I read it like 12 years ago. It's so useful because it talks about the cunning man and the rough music that comes along with the cunning man that draws out the violent worst of others, like, ooh, and the hatred and the polarity, the rough music, right? And the antidote is the lovely song, you know, is the magic flute. And also what you were saying, you know, because I was thinking, like, what's useful music now for, like, the, you know, how would I introduce the January 6th hearings? Well, I think Ride of the Valkyries is good. Just a little bit of, and Night on Bald Mountain, of course, the season is coming up, you know, and the William Tell Overture, I think, you know, those are all not melancholy, but they are campishly uplifting. There we go.
Yes, rousing, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, positive rousing to antidote the rough music that calls on people to hate, right? And and talking with Medea Benjamin through the years, where we love each other and we're very different in many ways, but she's a beautiful singer. She's a beautiful singer.
Is she?
And very often,
I didn't
of course.
Know that.
No, I know. We want people to know this, and because she's always disrupting things and being carried out, you know, feet first, often by things going, you know, don't go to war, right? And I've said often, like, well, Medea, what if you just started singing? I think she's tried this a couple of times because first it gives you time, because people don't know, like, is this part of it? Is this part of the thing, right? You know, and then it's singing. Right. So we're just expanding our repertoire of spiraling responses, and there is no prison for the unexpected. Right. That's part of our trickster cultivating the thing. This is an unexpected election. Our language is unexpected. There's no prison for the unexpected, and you know we go on like that. But yes, music and metaphor. And you know, the word metaphor means to carry across. It means to carry across from backstage. Yeah, there you go.
That's what we're doing. Yes. Well, and thank you for the recommendation for the Terry Pritchett thing, because I'll look into that. I haven't read that.
Definitely. Especially with your kids, you know, right? It's for all of us from 8 to 800. But anyway, but thank you, Julian. That was a rich proffering.
Darling.
So also, team, you know, again, multiple levels, you know, what else do we have here to, you know, some genius is scheduling us. And I feel that way also about the hearings. The moon quintiles Neptune, 72-degree angle of irresistible eloquence, guiding people to their own autonomy in service to democracy and the capacity to open portals between worlds, right? So it's again a reminder. It's like everything that's good and guiding in this country, and everything that's embracing and tolerant. And you know, my mentor, many of our mentors, Dion Fortune, said the purpose of ritual magic, and radio really is that, you know, is to spiral expanded wisdom and tolerance into group mind. So it's available as part of our repertoire. Download so that we're under pressure, personal or huge pressure out there in the world. Reactive pressure, that there's more to draw upon that's available. And we who are not under immediate pressure, you know, it behooves us to spiral into group mind, you know, the Kuan Yin, the ways of responding, you know, if we're right in the mix, you know, it is understandable to be primarily reactive, like, but we say to react to anything is not free, but it happens to all of us, like, but to cultivate an ever-expanding repertoire of responses is to ally with nature's evolutionary trickster genius. And we go, that's great. I mean, it's just fan mail from some flounder. Just you'll hear. Okay, there we go. Almost. Okay, thank you for being backstage with me, everybody. There we go. Right. So much to work with. And so there's the quintile. Again, these patterns are available. And I so love the word available because it means effective and liberating. It's a great word. You know, and I think that's part of the election. The I Ching said, asking it about these things, it said, let this election be the stimulus for each person becoming who they really are. I go, right. Inner democracy, outward democracy. Right, and that's part of Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, associated at the end of those ideas. It's associated with democracy, equality, synchronicity. And again, over the years, I would go, what do those things have to do with each other? And events would synchronously stage themselves to make it clear that when we look down or up at somebody, there's no synchronicity. There's no magic. There's other things, but no magic. When we deal with each other straight across, I mean, meaning people are on stage or backstage and have older or wiser or more skilled in this way, but the only really respectful manner is straight across. How you doing? And when we do that, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. So it kind of behooves us to aspire, I mean, we're all befoibled beings, you know, to aspire to embody democracy, to truly be agents of it. And then I like adding, you know, the democratic animism, you know, like, and what would, that everything be mutual aid. You know, when you see the giant spiders in Australia who have a little pet frog that they protect, and the frog keeps the ants away from their eggs, and they're very jolly. It took a while, right? But mutualism and Kropotkin and all of that is, you know, a mutually beneficial relationship. And we go, right, right. You know, and like us to me, to you, to the show, to our board up, hi there, Chris, to the station, right? And I know, you know, without being cheesy, you know, but it is useful to pledge 800-439-5732. $13 or $50 or $1,300 or $5,000, or whatever amuses you, whatever number has significance for you. But also, a ritual is simply any physical thing that we do that we imbue with mojo. That's not what I meant to say. A ritual is any physical thing we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism. That's it. Yeah. So pledging, listening, you know, cooking dinner for the dogs, whatever, you know, by the pledging to KPFA, 800-439-5732, may it increase the likelihood of a blue wave, which will lead to a progressive wave. And also, just as a footnote, well, everything's a footnote to everything. You know, Pramila Jayapur, and the head of the Progressive Caucus, and wonderful, wonderful woman, and emeritus alumni of the Council of Unreasonable Women, would like some protection. You know, again, that's also part of our gathering now, the Brazilian election. COP27 starts in November 6th. Again, Naomi Klein's brilliant, brilliant article in The Intercept, a must read about the complexity, but also what we can do. You know, and I did order their most prominent and beautiful kind of poet, political activist, and environmental thinker who's been in prison for years in Egypt on a hunger fast. And wants the people coming to COP27, the climate change thing, to help his release, right? Ala Abdel Fattah, his book, You Have Not Yet Been Defeated. It's really, really beautiful already. Again, exquisite people. We want to all help each other and have necessary miracles. So much of these elections are necessary miracles, and releasing, you know, all political prisoners and everything. So Yornis gives, you know, each person that wonderful Hafez quote: "The small man builds prisons for everyone he meets, but the wise woman ducks under the moon and tosses keys to the beautiful and rowdy prisoners." Let it be what, you know, what the show does, what the station does. Let it be part of each person's secret middle name. You know, say your name, you know, Caroline tosses keys to the beautiful and rowdy prisoners, Casey, and all of that. So all of us, team, we're all in this mystery play together. I thank always a wonderful, wonderful ally, Kirsten Thomas, and we will be going over many, many things already. Speak Truth, Be Power, CoyoteNetworkNews.com for more. We will reconvene next week. Woof, woof, woof.